Welcome. Wow, is it ever good to have you with us today. And I want to welcome everyone joining us online. You've been welcomed already, but I'm so glad that you're there. And everyone, I can't wait to get into the Word. Let's pray together over our leaders, our nations. What is going on? Timothy commands us to do this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you said, pray for our leaders. And if we would, that we could live in peace, that we could live in freedom and the blessing and the favor of God. So we pray for our prime minister. We pray for every premier in this nation. We ask that, Father, the favor of God would be upon them, the wisdom of God would be upon them, that they would listen to the right advice. We pray in the name of Jesus that, Father, for any leader that will not honor freedom and your word, I pray you'd move them out, move in someone who will. We pray, Father, for the United States. It's a crucial country. Father, for this whole world, we pray that you'd guide their leadership, a race. And we pray, Father, a leader after your own heart from country to country. And Father, for churches, we ask right now, raise up the churches as never before. And for many of them, Father, we just pray if they need to be woke up, wake them up. Father, I just pray that you'd cause us to be salt and light and that we would continue, Father, to see the great commission fulfilled and moving on in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, today I want to talk about a sin that no one knows is a sin. I want to talk about something that will cost you immensely in your life. I want to talk about the sin of worry. The sin of worry. Now, someone right away is going to say, well, you know, that's not that bad. I mean, if it's just worry that I've got, I'm glad it's not murder. I'm glad it's not, you know, rape or kidnapping. And I agree with you. However, I want you to know that when the Bible commands us don't do something, that then it's going to destroy your life. Now, the word sin in the New Testament and after this new covenant of Jesus dying on the cross literally means to miss the mark for God's best. Thank God that Jesus became sin, that he took the curse, so that you don't have to worry about that. But he's also showing us a recipe of how to live life to the best. And he's telling us over and over in the new covenant that worry will destroy you. I want you to know today that some people are so proud of how much they worry about. You know, I've got people in my life, and I'm sure you do too, that they pride themselves on the burdens that they carry, how much they worry about. And if you don't worry to the depth that they worry, they just think you're too carefree. They just think you're too cavalier. But I've got news for you. People often ask me, how do you run so many different organizations, from television to schools to churches, etc., and others around the world? And I tell them, you know what? It's a place of, there's different prayers in the Bible, and there's different rules governing each prayer. One of the prayers is the prayer of commitment, and I'm going to teach it to you and show it to you today. And that is a prayer that needs to be prayed once you're standing in faith for something, because the enemy of our souls will come in and get you to worry, get you to be anxious, get you to care too much about things. He'll get your heart troubled, and it will cost you your miracle. When you go to the psych wards of hospitals and places, they are filled with people who worry, and cares are the predominant way that many of them are there. When you talk to people who are sick, whose bodies are ravaged by disease, we know today through the study of the human body that if you are filled with worry, which is just a fancy word for fear, that sickness, you may as well flip the switch that says disease welcome, because worries and cares that are not dealt with will fill your body with poisons and chemicals that were never designed to sit in there and just rot you out. So as you look at the word, you need to recognize not only that, but when your mind has not been able to deal with worry, anxieties, and cares, that you are literally a double-minded person. The Bible calls you unstable. The Bible will show us and teach us, I'm going to go through some of it, that fear becomes anger. And if you want to control people, get them fearful, get them anxious, get them worried, because worried people can't make decisions. One of the signs of somebody who is double-minded is they can't even decide what to eat off a menu. They want to know what you like, what the restaurant waitress likes, what others have tried. They cannot make a decision. And when you study people, any of those who are watching who are counselors or doctors, psychologists, psychiatrists, you know this, that one of the immediate signs of somebody whose mind is so troubled is they cannot make decisions. So it doesn't matter which way you look at this, if you do not deal, and the Church of Jesus Christ has an incredible advantage when it comes to this area. Now let's go to politically. If you want to get people to vote for you, if you want to get people to think you're their savior, you must first disrupt their peace. Peaceful people make good decisions. But afraid people can be herded like cattle in any direction because they don't know what decisions to make. Fear causes them to be double-minded, worries and cares and anxieties. And if you can feed them a bunch of half-truths and try to get people to go, well, our only hope is the government. Our only hope is that leader. Over and over again, history shows us, break a group of people down with worries, anxieties, fears, half-truths, or real truths, doesn't matter, just get fear in their lives. And then they will abandon their right to make wise decisions. They will want somebody to step into their world and do that. So as a Church of Jesus Christ, if we are going to be salt and light to this world, to our nation, through any crisis, anything that goes on, then we need to learn, and I'm only going to be able to teach you a little part of it today, but I believe it will be an incredible blessing to you as you understand this. I believe the sin of worrying is worse than some of the addictions that we see today, because it's an addiction to worry. Some of you have been raised in families to worry. You think that it's normal to worry. I've had people tell me, I don't know what peace is like because I was raised in a home that you worried about everything, questioned everything. Your own children, when you raise them, you'll be continually questioning them out of fear, not just out of training, but out of fear. Did you wash your hands? It's one thing to say, did you wash your hands so that they can develop some good habits. It's another thing to do it with a sense of fear. It's one thing to say, you know, where were you today? With a sense of checking up on and training your kids. It's another thing to have fear, worry, anxiety come out of your voice. Kids pick it up so quickly. No wonder Jesus taught his disciples that when they would stay with somebody on their evangelistic trips, when you say to the house you're about to enter, peace be on this house. And if they accept your peace, it will stay. If the peace does not, if they reject your peace, the Bible says that peace will return to you and you're not to stay in that house. Isn't it interesting that to begin to go on an evangelistic crusade for Jesus, like the disciples and the 70 and lay hands on the sick and cast out devils, he didn't want them anywhere near a spirit of fear. Fear is not an emotion. Fear is not a feeling. Fear is an evil spirit. And we've got to recognize that this powerful evil spirit will take over your life, your mind, your body, every part of you. No wonder Timothy says we don't have the spirit of fear. We have a spirit of love. We have a spirit of power. We have a spirit of a mind that is well ordered, a mind that is strong. If you can take this one message and just go over it and over it and practice that what I'm going to show you today, you can have a mind so strong, a mind that is powerful. Now, as you go into God's word, Hebrews 3:12 says that take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and in departing from the living God. All right. People can depart from God for a lot of reasons. And we often look at the big sins and, you know, of hurting other people, whether it's kidnapping, rape, and murder, and et cetera, et cetera. And, but here it's saying that an unbelief in your heart is evil. Now, it's not saying that you are a wicked person. It is letting us know that your heart needs to be grounded in God's word, strong in faith, so that you can go fulfill what God's called you to do. But that it's up to you to protect your heart. It's up to you to renew your mind. And if you do not do that, your heart's not going to be a faith heart. It's going to be an evil heart of unbelief, meaning that you won't see faith and the favor of God, because God's favor, which is free, must be believed. So this message and this issue of, are you a worrier? Do you care too much about things? Someone said to me, well, Leon, I can't just look at all my problems and go, I'm not going to think about them. No, it doesn't say not to think about them. You see, it's like when I go into meetings here for whatever organization I'm doing the meetings for, you know, what are we going to be talking about today? Well, we've got a couple problems to solve. Good. We get into a meeting. We talk about the problem. We talk about the symptoms. We talk about the solutions. How many solutions do we have? What area should we go in? When we're done talking about that, we stop problem solving. We make a decision or we table it and we'll go to another problem. But fear, worry, and anxiety means you can't ever get it out of your head. It's all you think about when you're with your spouse. It's all you think about when you go to have fun. It's all you think about. So it's not just a matter. So I do. Any problem Sal and I have where we got to deal with it, we literally sit down, we figure it out. We've got steps to do that. But I'm talking about this anxiety that keeps that thing in the forefront of your brain. It does no good, Matthew 6 says, for you to think about stuff. It doesn't add an inch to your height to worry about it. But we will worry and care, and what will happen in your heart? The enemy knows that this heart that was designed to believe God and to see the end from the beginning, and every time you begin to think about the future, it's beautiful visions of succeeding in life and care and winning over battles. But a person who has an evil heart of unbelief, all they see is failure and heartache and brokenness and others attack, and they believe that. And the believing of the negative brings that in as well. Job 3:25, Job said, what I fear befalls me. What I dread comes upon me. What goes on in the heart is the autopilot for your future. So let's go into God's word, and I encourage you, write the words down, write the references down, get a copy of this, watch this over and over again on Facebook or on YouTube, so that the word of God that I read to you gets grounded on the inside of your heart. In Mark 4 and verse 19 is a teaching that Jesus has about changing your heart from fear to faith. It's about planting God's word, renewing your mind, planting the word in your heart. One verse is very interesting. Verse 19 of Mark 4 says that when it comes to one kind of heart, it says the cares and the anxieties of the world and the distractions of this age, pleasures and delight and false glamour, deceitfulness of riches and the craving, passionate desires for other things, listen to this, creep in and choke and suffocate God's word, and it becomes fruitless. It cannot bear faith. Now, it lists, and that's another teaching, all the different ways the world will try to distract you. But one of the things that we're talking about today is the cares and the anxieties. Some people are so full of cares and anxieties that God's word will never get planted in their heart, because the thorns and the thistles and the weeds of worries and anxieties are planted there in such array that that's all that grows out. Have you ever met a person that that's all they do is worry? They're just so stressed out. You can solve a problem and they'll have a new one. It's like they got a list of 50 things and they're just going to worry about the first one. If you solve the first one, it's like that digital list goes chick, chick, chick. Now number two becomes number one, number three becomes number two. You can solve that one and it goes chick, chick, chick. And number three will become number one, and as you work it, more will be added, because you cannot counsel out fear. You cannot help a person think fear through or think fear clear, because fear is a spirit, the Bible says. It is an evil spirit. It was never in the Garden of Eden until Adam and Eve fell and they sinned. So recognize when you need to think things clear and solve problems, because there's problems and issues, and recognize when it is a care and an anxiety, a worry, a fear, because everything is fear-based. We just use different words for it. And your heart will not produce faith. And faith has to be coming from the heart in order for the supernatural ability to heal your body, change the finances, begin to give you peace of mind. It's interesting. It doesn't take me long to be talking to somebody, and right away, even in their questions, you can just sense there is not a spirit of faith about this person. There is this spirit of fear. And when I sense a spirit of fear in somebody, it's like a loose tooth. You know, when you've got a little child who's losing their teeth, they got a mouthful of strong teeth. Then you put your finger in there and you wiggle one, and it just goes boop, boop, back and forth, and you know any day now it's going to come out. This is how I feel when I talk to some people. It's not like that their mind is anchored in the Word of God. It's like their mind is running loose, double-minded. It's going all over the place, and they'll hang on to a good thought for a while. They'll even be faith, quote-unquote. They'll know the Word. They'll do things, but in a second that a fear is shot at them, there is no shield of faith to put it out. I hope today I can make you just aware of the enemy's lies. This is his best trick. This is his only trick. Because he's been stripped of authority and power, all he can do is turn yours against you. He does it by firing darts of worry, anxiety, and he makes sure that you feel justified in thinking about it. I've got news for you. When businesses have meetings around problems, they get the problem, they look at it every way they can, make sure they're not solving symptoms but problems, they analyze, they have studies, and then they disengage, table it, and move on. The same is true for you. God will guide you with creative ideas if you've got a problem. There are other problems you can't do anything about because it's none of your business. You're praying for a grown-up son, or you're praying for a situation. And so all you can do is declare God's word and then be at peace. This is where the prayer of commitment comes in. You cast your cares on him. And I'll show you, it means all your cares. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 7 to 9 says that, casting the whole of your cares. In the King James, that was the Amplified. In the King James, it says casting all your cares. In other words, you are going to have problems. We're living in a real world. You've got to solve problems. You've got to rise up and change things. You've got to get up and face storms. You've got to build your life, build your house. But once this care becomes, and the word care, it literally means caring about something to the point of anxiety. I care about the problems, meaning I want them solved. They're on my radar. I'm going to deal with them, but they're not allowed to come in and destroy my joy, steal my peace, to get in there and wreck my time with my kids or my wife, or to enjoy life, to walk around where the joy of the Lord is my strength. I talk to a lot of Christians who've never known the joy of the Lord. They've only known happiness, and happiness just comes from happenings, and when nothing's happening, there's no happiness. But joy is a force, a strength that comes from the inside of you and I. So here it says, cast all your cares on him. Then it says, be well balanced, be vigilant and cautious. It says, the enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize and devour. All right. The enemy cannot walk in and devour people. He is looking for something. What is he looking for? He is looking for a person whose garden of their heart is filled with thorns, thistles, and weeds, cares, distractions, pleasures that seek to pull them away from God's word. And then he'll just come in and use their power against them because he has none. So your worry will destroy your marriage. Your worry will drive your kids off. Your worry will make you a person who no one wants to hire. Your worry will limit your finances. Your worry will bring sickness into your body. Your worry will give you all kinds of emotional and mental conditions that the science of psychology will put a name to but not be able to figure out. So you've got to make a decision. You have to make a decision. Is your mind going to be aware that any time that the cares begin to push at you, anxieties begin to push at you, if you don't deal with them, the enemy is looking. He's waiting. He's going to see if that's been planted and if it's coming up. And if it is, he loves to dive in. The problem for many people is they'll say, well, Leon, it's a real issue. Sure it is. Did you know there is a percentage of people who get in their car and die every day? Why don't you worry about that? There is a percentage of people who get up and they're going to die far more than some flu or some corona, and they're going to die of tuberculosis. No one worrying about that. There are so many things that if you want to worry about, but your brain will focus on whatever's being told to you, whatever you've read, whatever a friend is going through, your brain will develop. So when you have someone who continually says things to you through news, a friend or somebody, it is an onslaught of negativity. You have to be able to have a shield of faith so strong that you are aware and you can walk in wisdom, but the cares and the anxieties and the fears that are trying to take root in your heart, they hit the shield of faith and they are extinguished and they drop to the ground harmless, so that we deal with them with wisdom and you solve the problem in faith. Faith solves problems. It believes, okay, don't know what to do right now as far as an action, but I'm believing God, he's going to make a way. Doesn't the Bible say he'll make a way? Why does he need to make a way? Because there is no way right now. You're staring at it wondering, where are we going? What are we going to do in business and health? Well, where there is no way, you take that promise and say, he will make a way. And you stand in faith strong. And as you're looking and talking, and don't do it with a spirit of fear or anxiety. You've got to understand the next verse here in 1 Peter 5, 7 to 9 says, withstand him, be firm in the faith. It goes on to say, there are sufferings that are appointed to you, to the whole body of Christ throughout the world. And right away someone says, see, to be a Christian just means we're gonna suffer. No, he's not talking about suffering with disease. Jesus took it. He's not talking about suffering with financial poverty. Jesus died for that. He's talking here about suffering for our stand for Christ. He's talking about the normal things that go on. For example, everybody here eventually is going to lose their great-grandparents, then their grandparents, and their parents. It's just a way of life. There's stuff on this planet that God never designed, but it's here. So as it blows, yes, there's going to be a suffering. To stand up for Jesus, if there's going to be people that will come against you for it, you just stand strong. And by the way, there is no zone. There is no demilitarized zone. If you don't stand up in faith, and you don't speak the word of God, and you don't witness and stand up for what you believe, you are going to be taken out anyway, because the enemy and the people around you will just come at it, because there's no strength to you at all. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27, it says, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. I'm going to give you a couple of verses to think about and study. This literally means that what you think about and what you allow into your mind can give the devil place in your life. I don't say he's giving you, that he has been given the right. If you're in a bad part of town and you don't lock your car and a couple of thieves walking by see you not locking your car, they don't have the right to break into your car. They simply have the opportunity. So Satan hasn't been given the right, but he's looking for opportunities. And so don't allow negative emotions of any kind to stay in your mind. They will get planted in your heart and they will grow everywhere, and you will have a hard time putting them out without the help of God, which means his word will go in and cause a massive crop failure of all the weeds and thistles, and his word will rise up and faith will begin to grow in your heart. James 4, 7 says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So we must resist the onslaught of anxious, worried, fearful thinking. If you don't, you're going to find that the enemy is going to run rampant in your life. So submitting to God first gives you the power of his grace. His grace is his ability, and it comes to you as a favor. Get into the word of God, read the word of God, believe the word of God, and you're going to find amazing things will take place. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says you can literally have the mind of Jesus, the mind of Christ. It says in the Amplified, I love it, it says you're going to have his feelings, his purposes. Jesus was never stressed or anxious. He could walk on water. Demon-possessed people attacked him. It didn't matter where. He refused to give fear reign or place in his life. Over and over, study Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 and 34, where it teaches us that to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and that all the things you've been worried about, they're going to come your way. It says, don't take thought for the tomorrow. Now, this word thought in the Greek means anxious thought. It says tomorrow, it says you got enough things to deal with today, tomorrow will look after itself. He's not talking about problem solving. He's not talking about planning. He's talking about anxious thinking, fearful emotions. Do not give them any area of your life. On and on, you know, read over in Philippians chapter 4, where it teaches us even how to deal with anxiety. It says, be anxious for nothing. And it teaches us to rejoice in the Lord instead. Practice singing praises to God, declaring the promises of God. God, your word says, thank you, Jesus. You begin to declare, pray his word, sing his word. It's rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. And it goes on to talk about anxieties and how that it says, don't let them in. Now, God's not going to tell you to not let them in if you don't have the ability to do that. When he says, don't be anxious, it means you have that ability. People say, well, I've tried. Stop it. You believe you can't win. And because you believe you can't win over it, you are going to just accept it. And you're going to believe that it can win over you. That belief must change. And that is why when you give your life to Jesus Christ, his grace, his power, his ability must be believed in. And as you go on Philippians 4, it will show you stop thinking about negative things. And it gives you a checklist as to what your mind should be thinking about. Solve problems quickly and get your mind off of them. And then it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, please, these you do, and the God of peace will be with you. Let Jesus be your burden bearer. Let Jesus, you know, see the cares and the burdens of your life as a great big backpack, and every new care is another brick. And some of you can hardly walk. In fact, some of you don't. You sit on a chair with your backpack strapped to your back, unable to even move. You, others of you are so tired and so weary because you are carrying burdens, and Jesus is the burden bearer. Jesus, it says, cast your cares on him, all of them, for he cares for you. Start today, right now. Just say, Father, I cast the care of my children on you. Doesn't mean you stop parenting. Father, I cast the cares and the anxieties of my career on you. Doesn't mean you stop moving ahead. But the cares, the anxieties, the worries, the fears, you have no ability to differentiate between the two. You just think one is the other. Cast your cares on him. Stop watching things day after day after day that are bad reports. If you need to know about the report because it has to do with your life, then find out what it is now. Spend your time in good reports, in things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of good report. I got news for you. The news isn't good reports. Watch it once, figure out what applies to you, what you need to know, and then start looking and watching good reports, hanging around people who are positive, good reports, so that you're not steeped in bad reports. You know, it's interesting. The more often you hear a bad report, the more you believe in it. No wonder people are listening to 14 different ways of hearing a problem with their job, a problem with health, a problem with COVID. Did you know? They just listen and listen and listen. And when you hang around with some people, they just prize themselves on knowing more than anybody else all the new negative reports. You know, hanging around with you, dear, is going to be a pain after a while because everyone walks away from a coffee with you and everyone just feels depressed and down because there's got to be a lot of good things going on in the midst of problems. And there's always going to be storms and problems. And so my challenge to you, firstly, recognize sin. Worry is a sin. We're commanded not to do it. If you don't stop, it'll develop an evil heart of unbelief. as a born-again person who loves Jesus and who's going to heaven when you die, but you can still live on this planet in a way where the enemy controls every part of your life because you refuse to deal with the heart issue of all this negativity, this worry, this anxiety. We are designed to plant God's word. You have been called to labor in God's word. Work at it. None of you got to where you are not working at something. Work at his word to know what you believe. Find out your inheritance. Get it on the inside of you. And as you do, you will find that within days things change. Within a week or two, your heart begins to radiate of joy, of peace, of faith. And in no time at all, you can switch whether you've lived an entire life filled with anxieties and worries and repent. Say, Father, I'm sorry for this sin of worry and I'm not going there anymore. And every time you catch yourself, stop yourself and speak the word that is the answer. That gets it planted in your heart. Father, I pray for every person right now that's listening to this message. I pray that they would go to the word of God that I have shared with them and read them over and over till it gets planted in their heart. I pray that they would renew their mind and change their habits so that they are not allowing the enemy to fill them with evil fear, because fear is evil. And Father, I pray here at Springs, raise us up, raise up leaders and churches and pastors everywhere, that Father will look to the future and say, the Church of Jesus Christ is here to win this world, to raise up leaders and equip them to be great and mighty in politics and health and in business and in education and in every area. Raise up your church. Father, we speak this and we declare this in the mighty name of Jesus. I want to close with a prayer to those who maybe don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So I go to church all my life, big deal. Sitting in a garage don't make you a car. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian or a born-again follower of Christ. So if you say, Leon, I want to make sure, then you need to say to God, thank you for sending Jesus. He died in my place. So Jesus, come into my heart. I'm following you for the rest of my days as my Savior and my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to the family of God. That's how powerful it is that you have made a complete change. Jesus is your Lord and Savior. And as you've made this decision, I want to challenge you, get into the Word. Jesus teaches us that it is his word. He is the word of God. Get in and learn the word as to who you are now. I don't care how many years you've been serving Jesus. One of the things I've noticed about mature Christians is they can get off track and not go to the powerful, powerful foundations of their faith. And one of them is you got to deal with worry, anxiety, and fear every day of your life. You have to be aware, positively keeping it off with the shield of faith, and then move on and build the life of your dreams that God has written in his word.